Hello and welcome to the Volvo Sailing Podcast. I'm Guy Swindles, and this week we get reaction from the Middle East after the Dubai Muscat race was overshadowed by the news that Sail Bahrain's crew and boat was held by the Iranian authorities before happily being released. Daily Sail editor James Boyd will tell us all about that and look ahead to the World Yacht Racing Forum, while Mark Cavell was on the boat that actually took line honours in the race. We talked to him too. But first, as always, it's the Volvo Sailing Podcast news headlines. The Sail Bahrain crew is released by the Iranian authorities after a week in captivity. Editor of the DailySail.com, James Boyd, found himself in the Gulf as it was all kicking off.
Well, I got invited out by Lingi to go and have a look at their wonderful catamaran, which is truly one of the, you know, it's the ninth wonder of the world as far as I'm concerned. And obviously while we were out there, just up the road, this story develops about the Sail Bahrain crew who were supposed to be taking part in the Dubai to Muscat race, which sort of passed the doorstep of Ras Al Khaimah, who basically got held up by Iranian authorities because they strayed too close to an island where there's a military base on Tuesday last week, and were held captive there for a week. So that was that very rapid. They sort of kept it quiet for the first 4 or 5 days, because they were just hoping that, you know, they could that would help with, you know, the cause of the crew, but it basically went worldwide news earlier in the week, and we're very fortunately yesterday morning on Wednesday morning the crew were released after they'd been detained for a week.
Now I saw on the Daily Sail you've actually had a chat with the guys. Were they all okay?
Yes, obviously immensely relieved, because, you know, with these things you just never know, you know, because initially obviously they thought, you know, they kept on being told, yes, we'll let you go very sort of soon, and you just never know whether these things are going to go on for a matter of hours, days, weeks or months, you know, because it's just so uncertain in that kind of situation, you know, because they could have ended up being kind of political pawns, you know, particularly at the moment with the political situation between Iran and the rest of the world. So we're very, very, you know, we're very relieved and that they've been released, and as are all, obviously all the families and Andrew Pindar and the whole Sail Bahrain team.
Elsewhere, Carl Kwok's Beaugest takes line honours in the Transatlantic Maxi Yacht Cup. Kiwi Adam Minoprio makes a good start in the final event of the World Match Racing Tour. He leads going into the event, the aptly named Monsoon Cup in Malaysia, while Full Metal Jacket with Chris Meads and Chris Dixon is fastest out of the traps at the Phuket Kings Cup. Well, obviously, while the focus was on the crew of the Sail Bahrain boat that was being held by the Iranian authorities, attention drifted away from the fact that there was actually a line honour victor in that race from Dubai to Muscat, and it was Oman Sail's Arabian 100 Meijan, skippered by Paul Stanbridge. Well, working on board was Mark Cavell, who tells us all about it.
Well, we've just raced from Dubai down to Muscat. It's an interesting race. It's round the top of Muscat, which is a bit of a dogleg. Very, very exciting to start off with. It wasn't just the wind shifts on the light breeze off the start line we were worried about. It was the hundreds and hundreds of small fishing buoys. I've never seen a race course dotted with so many landmine fishing buoys than we discovered off the Dubai docks, but all good. And then it was a race of do you go out to sea and keep the breeze, or do you go overnight, lose the pressure, and then try to work off the breeze coming off the draining off the land overnight. So it was very tactical, very, very light, so you were really working on very localized pressures and having to be quite wily with it. And then as we got up to the top of Oman, left the UAE, we woke to fantastic mountains of Musandam around the top of Oman. We finished off with a fantastic 20 knots coming into Muscat itself.
Yeah, have you ever sailed in that area before?
I've raced, I did an ISAF World Championship some years ago from Dubai, and really loved it. We had good pressure there, good breeze and good waves. But it wasn't until I was lucky enough to join the crew of Oman Sail's Majan, the 105-foot trimaran, in Kuwait of all places, because we were enjoying a tour of the Gulf down through from Kuwait down to Bahrain, and then Qatar, Doha, then Abu Dhabi, and then down to Dubai. Stamping out new ground and looking to possibly race up there in the future.
I was going to ask, because one or two races are now heading to the Middle East. What kind of reaction did you get in the region, and what is the sailing like?
Well, I think the sailing has the potential to be fantastic. I mean, the conditions, it's lovely and warm. The breeze when it happens is can be good. On the whole, it's fairly light, there's no doubt about that. But again, you know, some of the best races in my career have been in light conditions, you know, light and tactical. And the response has been wonderful. Most of the marinas are full of boats, unfortunately not many masts around, but that's changing all the time. And the response when we pitched up in this incredible craft of a 105-foot trimaran was good. And Bahrain, obviously, is working up a new team. And, Dubai obviously caught some fantastic events. I just had the RC44s. And, I think sailing is certainly on the up in this area.
How did you get on, Mark?
Well, we've got line honours. We were looking for a shift at the end, which may have won us the thing, but it never came. So we ended up having to do 4 or 5 short tacks up the coast, just around the corner to Muscat, which lost us the record by about an hour.
So how did you get involved? How did the call come?
Well, the call came really off the back of the onboard media crew position that was so successful at the Volvo Ocean race. And the boat is big enough to have a media station based on many of the boats that OC have put together, and obviously the onboard media crew. And Paul Stanbridge, the skipper, looked at the media station, said if you want media coming off this boat, you need to get a media man. And I was one of the phone calls that were put out, and I got the job. So I'm really, really pleased to be carrying on a sort of a new tradition of an onboard media crew. And I think, through the Volvo Ocean race, I think that position is here to stay in many, many different races.
Obviously, and I know it's very difficult for you to talk about it, but obviously you mentioned media and the media interest in what happened with the British boat going into Iranian waters. I don't want to get into anything specific on that, but I just sort of wondered how the rest of the guys in the race sort of felt about what was happening.
Well, feeling here is very much, it's an unfortunate situation, it's an unfortunate time. A lot of people enjoy wonderful sailing in this region, very, very safe, very assured, and I think the whole situation has been very, very unfortunate, and I'm very glad that the guys are coming home.
Well, obviously the Middle East is seen as an important growth area for international yacht racing. And interesting that Majan, on its next trip, will have 3 Omani trainees and working very hard indeed to get sailing going in that part of the world. Well, talking about getting sailing going, a huge event coming up for the sport, the World Yacht Racing Forum, taking place next week. And we thought that we would preview this. And poor old James Boyd, the editor of thedailysail.com, certainly got no rest from us this week. He gives us some of the lowdown on what is likely to occur at the forum.
This is the second World Yacht Racing Forum after they held one in December last year, which was a huge success, and basically it's a sort of gathering of the clans of the whole sort of yacht racing community. And one of the highlights for me certainly last time was the debate about the America's Cup, and that looks set to be, the highlight of this one too. We've got both Brad Butterworth from Alinghi and Russell Coutts, who's CEO of the BMW Oracle Racing turning up for the America's Cup session, which is the final one on the second day. But obviously, there, you know, there's lots of issues going on in the sailing world at the moment. Obviously, we're going through a major economic crisis, and people are looking at ways of cutting costs. You know, there are very few new boats building and things like that. So that's going to, I think that's going to probably be the overriding theme of the forum this year. But you know, there are various other things. You know, for example, you know, there's talk about the sailing community is obviously run by ISAF, the International Sailing Federation, who had their conference recently in Korea. But the job of the forum, I suppose, is more to looking at the yacht racing world from the kind of more commercial angle. So we've got some fantastic presentations happening there from some of the top sponsors in the sport, including someone from Volvo, for example. It's basically a very unique opportunity to air all these topics, including some thorny ones like how you gauge the value of an event for a sponsor. So it's basically a fascinating thing, and it's a chance to meet a really unique gathering of people.
Now, you mentioned the America's Cup debate being the highlight last time and likely to be again this time. What are you expecting from the protagonists?
Well, I think basically what the organisers are trying to achieve this time, obviously we've got the 33rd America's Cup happening at some point next year. We think Valencia, we think early February. Obviously in these two amazing, huge multi-hulls, held by the best crews in the world, blah, blah, blah. But people are really looking at what's going to happen beyond that, to the 34th America's Cup, and there seems to be very much two schools of thought about, you know, the type of boat which is going to be used for that, and also the sort of format of the actual event itself. For example, obviously the 33rd America's Cup is being sailed in these 115-foot multi-hulls, and there's a very strong lobby, particularly from Alinghi, but the 34th should be raced in multi-hulls too. Probably not boats as extreme as this, but certainly ones which are perhaps sort of 80 or 90 foot long, rather than 115 or so. And I think that's probably that's certainly a very forward-looking way of doing it. I mean, the America's Cup traditionally has always been raced in the most the world's most advanced boats, and it could be said, certainly the version 5 boats, which they used in 2007, are now effectively a 20-year-old boat. But it leads on to lots of other debate about the actual nature of the race, because multi-hulls are not good at match racing in the way we sort of view match racing today, the sort of cut and thrust of the pre-starts and dial downs and all those kind of things. But almost certainly won't be a feature of that kind of racing. However, it's the 21st century and things need to move on. And the thing is, it's all very well making a decision to go to the multi-hulls, but the whole nature of the way the racing works and the match racing side needs to be looked at as well. It'll be something very different and something which we're not used to, which obviously is something which we'd like to cause some concern for traditionalists.
Now, it's interesting. The America's Cup is traditionally pretty inflation-proof, if you like, pretty bulletproof financially. Not everything in sailing obviously is, and the other thing you mentioned was there's quite a big debate on how to cut costs, how to keep costs down for big events. Outside the America's Cup, is this becoming increasingly important?
I think pretty much every class is looking at ways that can it can kind of curb costs, campaign costs for teams, literally from dinghies up to the America's Cup itself, and obviously the Volvo and all the stuff which come across that and the team have done there to reduce the cost and the next race has been, that's very depictive of what's going through the sport. In the yachting world, all the sort of classes are looking at reducing sales and, all kinds of things to, sort of slash budgets for the next couple of years.
James, a final thought. You've worked in sailing for a very long time. Obviously, we have got this world economic downturn and things, but what is your general feeling about the state of the sport currently?
It still seems to be going strong. We've still got classes which are kind of increasing in numbers and things like that. I mean, I think I was over at the Met trade show, which is the marine equipment trade show, a couple of weeks ago, and you know, quite interesting to talk to the people there. You know, boat builders who would normally have order books full at this time of year haven't, and all the sort of equipment suppliers are, you know, kind of a bit concerned, you know, about what 2010 is going to hold, because, you know, obviously, you know, we're possibly, you know, we've seen the worst of the economic crisis now, but, you know, in a trade like the marine industry, that tends to have knock-on effects for, you know, at least a year or two following that. You know, so there's going to be a bit of a delayed reaction, I suspect. So it's going to be, I think it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a relatively quiet year, and it's going to be very tough for, you know, for major events like Volvo and the Open 60 Class and things like that, to make sure that there's, you know, enough, you know, we're offering enough value to sponsors to ensure that, you know, we get boats on start lines.
Our thanks then to James Boyd for all his help this week. We'll be reporting from the forum itself. Matt Sheehan, our roving reporter, will be bringing us all the news breaking from the forum in our next Volvo Sailing podcast. In the meantime, remember to click in at regular intervals to www.volvooceanrace.org.